Let me pray before we begin. Father, I want to praise your name. The word, creator, life and light. The one who shines into the darkness. Please help us to never forget who you are, no matter the circumstance that we face or the busyness of life that we are in. We pray this for our sake and for your glory. Amen. Well, friends, the Christmas and summer season has sprung up on us so fast, hasn't it? We find ourselves only 8 days away from Christmas Day, can you believe it? Already all the way through 2017, and since having kids, I've found that, days used to feel so long, but now I feel like my months are like years, and time just, it goes by so fast. And heading towards Christmas, I'm sure in this room, for some of us, it puts tingles up and down our spine. And for others, perhaps it's a sense of dread. Perhaps a sense of dread for how much you still have left to prepare for Christmas Day. Whatever it is in your circumstance, I pray that the busyness and preparation leading up to Christmas Day has not left you feeling exhausted or financially strained, but rather a time where we can reflect during this Advent period on an incredible gift that we have of the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. Friends, I have a story to share with you. It's a bit of a personal story. Apart from the 8:30 and 10:15 congregations, I've never told anyone this before. It's a bit embarrassing, that's the reason why. But I wanted to share with you one of my first experiences, the very first interview I had going for a job. If you can imagine me, younger and skinnier, 14 and 9 months, raring to go, wanting to, prove to the world that I could do what anyone else could. And I sat down in front of the lady who was to interview me for a job at Safeway, or Woolworths it's called now, down in Echuca. And to be quite honest with you, I'd never been through an interview process. I'd never really practiced for an interview process, and I had no idea what questions were coming at me. And one in particular took me by surprise. I thought I did okay with the rest. The lady looked at me and she said, if I were to talk to your friends and they were to describe you with 3 words, what would they say? Now you'd think if I had actually practiced, I could have said something like loyal or trustworthy or honest. But I spent a good half minute thinking over what I should say, and I looked at her and I said, I think that would describe me as a good friend. And clearly, I misunderstood what she was asking me. I'd never been to an interview, and I'm sure the lady had a good chuckle about it with her husband later that night. And in case you are wondering, I didn't get the job. But this idea of, misunderstanding what's really being said, can be quite important. And I think we can easily misunderstand our text today, John 1. We can miss the important details, and we can certainly, in Christmas time, forget Jesus. Today we find ourselves in John 1:1-13, a wonderful and revealing passage that is quite heavy. It has a lot of theology, but it also, first and foremost, tells a story. John 1:1-18 is known as the prologue of the book of John, and inside those 18 verses is contained a basic summary for what the whole Gospel of John is about. What you'll notice in our passage today is that our central character, we've got a character, someone who is always mentioned as the front and centre of our story, who is the Word. That is our central character. In our time together today, we'll be looking at how this Word was involved in creation, how the Word is the one who is life and light, and how the Word, even though being involved in creation, being life and light, was rejected by creation itself, but accepted by those who believe. And I wonder, have you ever actually given much attention to these opening verses in the book of John? The opening line is, "In the beginning was the Word." I'm not sure what that does for you, but for me, straight away, I noticed that the Gospel of John, it doesn't start the same way that the other Gospels do. It doesn't begin with the historical Jesus. We aren't taken to the nativity story like the Gospels of Matthew or Luke do for us. Or perhaps Mark's opening with John the Baptist preparing the way and then a few verses later Jesus' baptism. It doesn't take us there. Rather, we find ourselves in a very different setting. John starts us off way back before the Nativity, way before John the Baptist, and indeed way before prophets, kings, judges, and the nation of Israel itself. He starts in the beginning, using this language that immediately transports us to thinking about creation in Genesis. But unlike Genesis, where we see the line, "In the beginning God created, ... here we see, "In the beginning was the Word." This Word, the central character, we find out that the Word was with God. And this Word was indeed God. I think John is trying to help us to understand that the Word, our character in our story today, existed before creation. And to even make his case more strongly and his point more clear, he actually adds verse 2. "He was with God in the beginning." Now we don't find out who this Word is in our passage today, but we do find the answer in John chapter 1 verses 14 to 18, which immediately follows the passage that we're in today, that the Word, our central character, is in fact Jesus Christ. But if you want to hear the next part of the story, you'll have to come back on Christmas Day, because that's when we'll be tackling that passage. But the Word is Jesus Christ, and this is important for us to understand. And John wanted people to understand this. He wanted his readers to know that Jesus, the Word, was in the beginning with God. So this Word was in the beginning. This Word was with God, and this Word was God. Which makes a lot of sense when it's revealed who the Word is, who the Logos is. It is Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. We go on to find verse 3, and we find out that through the Word, that is through Jesus, all things were made. Without the Word, nothing was made that has been made. Now there's a sentence for you. I think what John is trying to say, if I could break it down for you, there is nothing that is in this world that has not been created without Jesus. And this is a very visual point that I want us to grasp, that Jesus was actually God's agent in creation. Colossians chapter 1 verses 16 and 17 backs this up when Paul states to the church in Colossae that by him, by Jesus, all things were made. Verse 3 of our passage does the same thing here. It is through the Son that all things were made. So John is pointing us toward this very visual picture of Jesus Christ, and perhaps you've never thought about creation being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in creation. There's a Bible I want to show you, if you don't mind seeing. It's my son Xander's Bible, and we bought it for him after his baptism. It's an ESV. It's called the Action Bible. It's sort of aimed for kids around 7 to 11 years old. And it does have the whole Bible in it, with some notes. But the thing I want to show you is they've got these pages within this Bible where it shows you sort of a cartoon, like a graphic novel type of feeling about what, you know, that, so as to capture kids' minds. And so, you know, you'll see throughout the Bible just sort of four pages here and there of Bible story. But I actually just wanted to show you, and if it's okay, Josiah, could you put the next slide up? I wanted to show you the creation page. And who do you see creating? We've actually made a real statement, a real decision that they wanted Jesus to be the one who was creating. So Jesus is carrying about God's work. You know, and you can't quite see what it says there on the right, but you know, Jesus is talking to Adam and to Eve, says, you know, "Hello, my son and my beautiful one, Eve." But they've made that conscious decision that Jesus is the one who is carrying about creation. Thanks, Josiah. So Jesus is the Word, and through the Word, all things were made. Jesus was very present and very involved in creation. And as we continue further in verses 4 through to 9, we can see that the Word, our central character in our story today, is life and light. The themes of life and light are used all the time in John. And in this particular instance, John is explaining that life can be found in Jesus Christ. But it's not only life, it is also light. The Word, Jesus, is written as the light of men. And John wants his readers to see that this Word, Jesus, the one who is very present in creation, is the source of life. And that mankind can actually have purpose because of him. Verse 5 continues with this theme of light and introduces the opposite of light. That is the dark side. Now, friends, don't get confused with Star Wars here. I'm not talking about light and dark. I'm not talking about the darkest thing you can think of being the Sith. I'm actually talking about pure evil here. John uses this idea of light and darkness, and he uses these visual examples by stating that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. This idea of light and darkness, I don't know what it does for you, but for me it takes my mind back to creation again, when God says, "Let there be light." And when God spoke it, light shone through the darkness. It pierced through the darkness. And John is taking this parallel from creation and saying that in creation, when God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light, and it pierced through the darkness. So, just so, Jesus is the light of this world. And when he, as light, shines in this dark world, well, the darkness, it doesn't understand it. It's confused. Some of our Bible translations, instead of using the idea of darkness not understanding the light, some of our translations actually say that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. That is to say that light has more power than darkness. And we know that to be true. We know that to be true on a very basic level, just by looking at the sky. When you look up in the sky on a dark night, what are your eyes automatically drawn to? It's light. Because light shines in the darkness. It pierces the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome light. And so, friends, Jesus is light. He is the light that shines in the darkness, which can never overcome him. Our author John pauses here for a moment, and he wants to draw the reader's attention toward another figure that's important in the story of Jesus. He wants us to draw towards John the Baptist, because our author John, the evangelist, two different Johns, John the Evangelist, who's writing the book of John, John the Baptist is the one he refers to. He drops to John the Baptist now because he doesn't want his readers to be confused. John knows who the light is. And he wants his readers to know that it is not John the Baptist, but that John the Baptist is only a witness to the light. John the Baptist is not the light himself, but is merely pointing others to the light, to Jesus. This is important for John the Evangelist, our author, to clarify, because John the Baptist did have a ministry. He did have a ministry, and it was given to him by God. But it was not Jesus' ministry. John the Baptist is not the light. In fact, in verses 7 and 8, our author mentions twice that John the Baptist is purely a witness. And in writing this, our author is aligning John the Baptist with all the other prophets that have gone before him in the Old Testament and pointing out that Jesus is actually the real deal here. He is the one that Israel has been waiting for. John the Baptist is simply a messenger. He's a bringer of good news, but he's not the good news himself. So now, after clarifying that, our author John switches back to Jesus in verse 9 as the focus. The true light that was coming into the world. John, he cleverly and clearly has placed our focus back to Jesus coming down to earth. And he's allowed our minds, not directly, but I think most of us in this room will do this, he sort of allows our minds to be drawn to Jesus' arrival on that very first Christmas. God made flesh, God incarnate, the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. John really is a master storyteller. I mean, we've had some pretty good storytellers in our history, you know, Shakespeare and such, but I think John has really put this beautiful, wonderfully woven historical tale in our minds, and he's just put this story of Jesus into perspective. We see the Word, Jesus in the beginning with God, creating and carrying about creation with God. Jesus, the source of life and light in a dark world. And then, if that wasn't enough, he joins his world that he created, the world that he is life and light to. He becomes flesh. He becomes incarnate, and he comes into the world. There's this beautiful imagery of Jesus here, having created the world that he loves, being life and light to this world, so much so that he himself comes as light to pierce through the darkness. And he becomes a man. And how did the world receive Jesus? Well, John continues in verses 10 and 11 that despite the fact that Jesus was in the beginning with God, despite the fact that Jesus was creating alongside God, despite the fact that Jesus was and is the source of life and light in this world, when God incarnate comes into this world, the world didn't even recognize him. He came to his people. They didn't even receive him. Forget the welcome mat. They didn't even recognize his face. And so woven into our story is now the element of rejection. Creation has abandoned the Creator. Christ, fully God, fully man, comes into his created world, and his own creation does not know him, does not receive him, does not recognize him. And friends, if our passage today finished at verses 10 and 11 with the utter rejection of Jesus, the Word, it would be quite disheartening, wouldn't it? But just as there was promise through the whole of the Old Testament, so John mentions here that there is still hope. Hope remains. There is hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus has a chosen people. There is a chosen people. There is a remnant. And this remnant believes in Jesus in the hope that he brings. Well, who are these few? Who are the remnant? They are those that believe in Christ, who have believed in his name, John says. Those who have a personal belief and faith in the saving power of Jesus. And it goes further than that. John says that they are actually given the right to become God's children. They are given the privilege of being a part of God's people. They are the ones who were released from sin and restored to a position of favour with God. They are the ones who go from alienation and hostility to a position of acceptance and favour. They are the ones who are adopted as sons and daughters of God. And friends, if you belong to Jesus, this too is part of your story. You've been adopted. You've been taken out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. This light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot understand it, and it cannot overcome it. This is the hope we need to remember at Christmas. Whether Christmas is a challenge or a joy for you, remember that true light has come into the world. Sometimes, well, actually most of the time, we look into the world. It's not very encouraging, is it? We see darkness all around us. On Friday, the final report of the Royal Commission came in. You know, the church is guilty. We are guilty. There's been a lot of mistreatment, a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of physical abuse, and that has become part of our story. There is darkness, even where there is supposed to be safety. And even here in the city of Casey, there is darkness. The 2015 statistics showed that our city here in Casey is guilty of being the highest city with reported domestic violence in Victoria. We live in a dark world. But the light shines in the darkness. True light has come to the world. He came 2,000 years ago with a message of hope for this dark world. And that hope still shines strongly. And no matter how hard our world tries, the darkness will never overcome the light. That Christ died for sin, that he rose for our hope, that he ascended as king and rules and reigns over this world. And that is great hope. And this is true light which can never be overcome. So friends, don't be like me in my first interview. Don't lose the context. Remember what John is talking about. Remember what Christmas is about. Don't misunderstand what we are being reminded of every Christmas. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings light into darkness. It pierces the darkness, and salvation can be found in his name alone. So wherever you are in your journey toward Christmas Day, in this Advent season, remember that Jesus did come. True light has come into this world. To those who have received him, and we long at this church to proclaim Christ, and we hope that all will receive him here who have heard the message. To those who believe, there is great hope. We become children of God. Adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Amen.